Thanks for listening to this message from Kingdom Life Church and Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit our website, klcmaine.com.
All right, if you have your Bibles, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. So is it okay with you guys if I don't give you a traditional Palm Sunday message? I mean, if you want, I could just do it, but I actually had something from the Lord, and I feel like it's much better to obey the Lord than it is to just follow a religious calendar. So, who knows? Maybe I won't even talk about Easter next week. No, I will. I promise. Just kidding. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Are you there? Look at what we're going to try to start doing. Look. We're going to try to start doing that. I usually throw so many verses at you, though. I'm just kind of like, I don't want to do it to my AV team. Like, I don't want to give them 20 verses. I'm just like reading through them faster than you can get to it. So, but I'm going to stay in one passage today. So we're going to do it. Thanks. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Are you guys there? Everyone say, I got it. If you don't, it's on the screen. Remember how the Lord your God, this is verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order that you would know in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not that you would keep his commands. He humbled you and he caused you to hunger, and then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had ever known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. For your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord disciplines you. Okay. I want to get into this. You know, immediately we can start getting frustrated with the idea and the concept of talking about the wilderness. But I want you, if you have your Bibles, I forgot to give the board this verse. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1, says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit. How much Holy Spirit did Jesus have? He was full. Returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? You're saying that Jesus, he just had the dove come down from heaven. He just had this unveiling baptism moment with John the Baptist. The dove comes down from heaven. He's full of the Holy Spirit. He just came out of Tenacious Love on fire, right? Well, Tenacious Love plug. He just had this like wild encounter. Like this is this big unveiling. Like usually we come out of our greatest seasons and moments. You know exactly what I'm talking about. The high points of the Lord where we're zealous and on fire. And we come out of these seasons and we go, I'm going to do big things. We're waiting for this like great, like momentous, like series of events start flowing out of my life. What was the first activity of the Holy Spirit for Jesus? He led him into the wilderness. And he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Well, duh. He was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, and we know the story. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. And Jesus said to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Listen, we just took that very line, right, from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The lesson that Israel was supposed to learn in the wilderness was the lesson that God does not live by bread, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Jesus goes through these 40 days of temptation where he ate nothing and at the end was hungry and then was tempted to do something in his own strength And his response was, and I have to believe that in the wilderness, Jesus learned the same message, Jesus learned the same message in his wilderness as Israel did in theirs. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Listen, the Lord led Israel in the desert the same way the Holy Spirit led Jesus in the desert to be tempted by Satan. Israel emerged from the wilderness to cross into the promised land. And then it says in Luke 4, verse 14, it says, then Jesus returned with the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Israel emerged out of the wilderness to cross into the promised land. Jesus emerged out of the wilderness with power to heal the sick. And this is where the fame of Jesus began to spread, was after this moment in his life. What we have to understand is that the wilderness was not just reserved for Israel and Jesus, but it shows us a method in which the Father advances, matures, and brings breakthrough in his sons. What does it say at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 8? It says, so know in your heart. This is what he says. This whole wilderness season, wandering through the desert for 40 years. He says this, so know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. He immediately says, I've done this and I've led you this way because I am your father and you are my son and I love you. And this is how I walk you into places from sonship into places of maturity. This is how I bring you and lead you into breakthrough. One of the things we have to understand is that the method of wilderness is not just for the ones that like aren't smart enough and don't get it and struggle more than the rest of us and go through more wilderness. It's literally the pathway of sonship. Like you're actually, I don't see a moment in time where you are allowed to emerge into your destiny, into your promised land, into power and the things that are on your life without passing through a wilderness. We just don't have biblical precedence for it. But I wanna go through Deuteronomy chapter 8 because, are you guys okay? Yeah. You're like, oh yay, we're supposed to be talking about the triumphal entry and he's talking about the wilderness. I promise you, this is good news, okay? This is really, really good news. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not that you would keep his commands. One of the things that we have to understand about wilderness seasons is that you will not survive a wilderness season without vision. You cannot survive a season of walking through the wilderness without vision. For my people perish for a lack of vision. You know, I was with all these leaders in Winston-Salem. I was with leaders from this like 5 or 6 state region of America. They're all leading worship and prayer. And we're talking about the guys who are, they're leading prayer meetings of hundreds at times. And at moments they're leading prayer meetings with nobody but themselves and a CD player. You know, and they're doing it monthly, and they're rallying the churches, and they're gathering cities together, and they're pioneering worship and prayer movements. And I'm with all these leaders, and one of the first things I said is, how many of you guys have a vision for your city? And believe it or not, only like half of them raised their hand. And I said, well, the rest of you, your days of leadership are numbered. Because there's no way that you can pioneer any move of the Holy Spirit and follow him where he wants to lead you without vision in your heart of where you're going. And you cannot, if you are walking through a wilderness without vision, your days are numbered of following Jesus. I promise you that. That's such an intense thing to say. But listen to me. You have to have vision for what the Lord is doing in and through your life. Because you will either see the wilderness as a war against your life or as an opportunity for internal breakthrough. You will either see the wilderness as an obstacle or you will see it as a doorway. You will either see the wilderness as punishment or you will see it as sonship. You will either see it as isolating or you'll recognize the sovereign hand of God on the season. You will either grow and allow the Lord to confront every lie and every place of unbelief and every broken thing inside of us, or you will resist the Lord and isolate yourself. It all depends on your vision for the season. Can you define this season correctly and call it exactly what it is? Jesus loves me with an everlasting love, and he will never let me live the way that I've been my whole life. So he will walk with me through a wilderness, and he won't let my feet swell, and he won't let my clothes. He'll let me go hungry, but he'll feed me with manna every day. Like you'll either see it as like warfare, or we will see it as the sovereign hand of God answering your life's cry to follow him wherever he goes. If you go, God, I'll follow you wherever you go. We have a very good historical record of him constantly going through the wilderness. Jesus, I'll follow you until you get there, and I'll meet you on the other side. I'm going to take the long way around. For 40 years. We'll either embrace the influence of the season to refine us for what's to come, or we will coddle and protect the very thing the season was meant to work out of me. I will either go, wound me, hit it again. God, get that thing out of me. I'll either let it keep confronting me and go, yeah, do it again. I'll either let him come in, like hit those places of my life. And, walking through a wilderness could look like someone doesn't recognize the good things that I do. And it hurts my heart. And I feel so insecure. Like I need man's recognition. And then all of a sudden, like, I'm just going like, oh man, well, I guess I'm not good enough. And then we keep walking through people not recognizing me. And I keep believing I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough. But listen, maybe the season of the wilderness is allowing the Lord to confront your security in the Lord so that you don't have to be recognized by man, right? And so you keep going through seasons with the same message, keep having an opportunity to hit your heart, and either you will either coddle it and believe a lie, or you will deny yourself and allow the Lord to begin to refine that place of insecurity. Why? Because he is preparing you for where you need to go. Because there's a place that you're going where you cannot serve the need of man. You have to be confident in the Lord. And if he let you coddle that place of your heart and your life, it will break you. If you cannot discern truth and keep his commands in this season, how will you do it when in the demands of what's to come? So what did he say? He said, God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart. What is the season, what is the wilderness doing? It's bringing, excuse my French, it is bringing all the crap up. It is shaking everything loose. It is bringing things to the surface so that it can be dealt with. Why are you walking through wilderness? To see what is in your heart. And how many of us know we live in a fallen world and we've been raised by fallen people? I love you, mom and dad, but, right? I got to be careful of like speaking about childhood, like it's a glorious thing, but we live in a fallen world and people aren't perfect. And we go through seasons, we all get wounded. And we walk through paths of life where we get dirty and we get stained. And we come into salvation, like he saved us and made everything available, but we're still wounded and we still smell like the world sometimes. And we're still broken and we're still dirty. So he allows us to walk through wilderness to show us what's in our heart. Not because we're bad, but because the world put it in it. And he wants to shake everything loose so that the true work and the finished work of the cross can do a mighty work inside of you. And so you can go through a season where this thing keeps getting like confronted, and you keep going through scenarios, you keep going through situations, and it keeps coming up. And you can either coddle it or you can get a vision. Yay, Lord, I cannot go where you've called me to go with this thing inside of me. I can't keep being a man pleaser. I can't keep this process going. I can't keep going that same road. Something has to change, and it can't change without me fully embracing this season and allowing you to bring it to the surface. It will either, how many times we're going like, I cast that devil out. I cast this spirit out. This is warfare. You literally are like praying prayers against the Lord sometimes. The very one that you think is warring against your life actually led you into this season. He did not author pain or difficulty. He led you to a place where it would not affect your life, but it would cause things in your heart to surface. Are you all right? He humbled you. He caused you to hunger. This is my second point. He humbled you. He caused you to hunger and fed you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Every vulnerable place of sin in our life, every place of intimidation, anxiety, worry, fear, lying, manipulation, insecurity, pain, everything that we would all agree and come into agreement and say, man, that's not from the Lord. God wants to work that thing out of me. This is not who I was called to be. Every broken place inside of us is rooted in a lie. The lie of your lack is what is the foundation to every broken place inside of us. The sole purpose of the wilderness is to expose lies. Listen, highlight it, write it down, like believe this. The sole purpose of the wilderness is to expose lies. For Israel, the lie was that they were worthless and slaves, and it caused them to come under the ruling culture of the pagan world around them time and time again. They always allowed an enemy to come and rule over them. They became the slaves of multiple governing nations. They were never rising above. They were never taking ownership. They were always being kicked out. The lie was, you're slaves. You are this, you are that, you are the other. But what was the thing that happened when they crossed in the promised land and they dedicated their lives back to the Lord and they crossed over with Joshua and they circumcised a whole generation of young men in Israel? It says, and in that day, the reproach of slavery from Egypt was turned off of their life. They walked the 40 years believing a lie that they were still slaves. But the wilderness confronted the lie. For Jesus, the wilderness exposed the susceptible nature of man to pride and the distortion of truth. Lies were confronted with the truth to conquer the deceptive nature of man's heart. It was the pride and the elevation of man, the distortion of truth. How many of you, he's fully God, but he's fully man. And he had to conquer the fallen nature of mankind in order that he would be a perfect sacrifice for you and I. And Jesus, in this moment of the 40 days, literally went into a season where the Father led him there to go, Jesus, this is every place of your heart and your life that will be susceptible to sin for the journey that's ahead of you. And you've got to walk pure and holy. You cannot stumble even once, or you will not be able to be the sacrifice for the sin of all of mankind for eternity. So he led him into the wilderness to knock on every crooked, broken doorway of man's heart and nature. And everyone was knocked on, and Jesus fortified every open door with truth. Every lie that man's fallen nature gives into was confronted in the wilderness season where he was tempted and longing. And what did he respond back with? With truth. Too many of us are failing to see the purpose of the wilderness and are idly sitting by waiting for the season to end instead of intentionally and boldly confronting lies within ourselves. We're sitting and we're like, well, the season will come to an end. Just gotta hang in there. Gotta just surround myself with people. Gotta do the right things. Gotta make sure I'm at church on Sunday. Don't isolate. Those are all good things. Those are all good things. But here's what I need you to know. You'll never get publicly what you were meant to get privately. So we are sitting back idly waiting for the season to end. All the while, we've been invited to actually boldly come before the Lord and intentionally confront lies and dig in for the truth of his word and to begin to believe the truth. Guys, that only happens in the private place with the Lord. Our human nature wants to sit and wait for the season to pass. We want to falsely blame an enemy for what God intended for me, and we want to escape this season. One of the things we have to understand is that, yes, Jesus did pull away from the crowds, but Jesus didn't pull away to get away. Jesus pulled away to get instruction to stay on the course. The point of the pulling away was not to get away, it was to get instruction. Man does not live. We can go through seasons. We're allowed to hunger. We're allowed to feel incomplete. We're allowed to have emotions. We're allowed to believe lies. We're allowed to believe all this stuff, but he will lead us into the wilderness. Some of you guys have been praying the prayers. Lord, I'll go. Set me on fire. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. I want to be a disciple. I'll put my hand to the plow and I won't look back. Someone reads the verse, sell everything you have. I will. But when he answers the prayer with the wilderness, when the Holy Spirit leads you into the wilderness, are you calling it spiritual warfare? Or are you like thanking the Lord for allowing you to go through a season that you're hungry so that you know that man does not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God? How will you be a mature leader in the body of Christ if you did not go through a season and live by the word of the Lord? How will you be a mature leader of others and lead other people in the kingdom if you could not discern truth for your own personal stinking life and go through a season where it was like really hard to overcome a lie and you couldn't do it and you coddled the lie and you made excuses for it and all that kind of stuff. You just lived a certain way, but you didn't boldly go to the Lord and get the word of God and meet the hunger inside of you, not with natural means, but with spiritual means. Something that's not from this world, not the bread that I can make, but only the bread that comes down from heaven. Only the truth of your word. Feed me with that and not that which I make in my own hands. We can all get by and look okay, but internally we're dying and we're hungry and we're starving for truth and we're living a life where we're becoming anemic in our faith. But we look fine because we're not feeding on the very word that comes down from heaven and feeding and nourishing our souls and overcoming the lies that we've so coddled onto for so long in our life. You were created to come alive by the word of the Lord. The wilderness teaches us that no matter what the season, where we go, or where we find ourselves, that our hunger is not for natural things, but the word and the presence of God in our lives. I'm asking you right now, if there's anybody in your life that you look up to in the faith, I want you to begin to ask them where the faith became real to them. And I promise you, it will never be a conference. It will never be a prayer meeting. It will never be a season of success. Every single season that any mature elder and believer in the Lord ever became anything and had character and steadfast faith that made you jealous, all was formed and shaped in the wilderness. And if it wasn't, I honestly would be wondering if they're telling the truth. Many of us can show up to church and meetings hoping that wilderness season will magically disappear, but we'll never get publicly what we're meant to get privately. The wilderness is to create a lifelong discipline of feasting on the Lord's word and his presence. How many of us want a lifelong discipline of feasting on the word of the Lord through all seasons? Feasting on the Lord. And this is my second point to you, is to learn how to feast on the word of the Lord. Not just read and study, feast on the word of the Lord. We will never understand its power and influence on our life until we go hungry and become satisfied and instructed in his presence during a wilderness season. My third point. We have to get perspective. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. The thing is that we have to understand is that we may be in a wilderness, we may be uncomfortable, we may be hungry or discouraged or struggling with our emotional world, but did your clothes wear out and did your feet swell? Listen. I know we've gone through some hard things. Every one of us has some battle wounds, right? We've all gone through difficult stuff. Maybe you're going through a difficult season right now. Did your feet swell? Did your clothes wear out? Did God not show up? Was he gone in your season? Was he not speaking? Was there not a cloud by day and fire by night, manna every day for you? I know that you didn't have a home. I know that it was hard, but did he take care of you? We have to get his perspective on the season. In the wilderness, we often wonder, where is God, and yet fail to see his constant provision in our life. The wilderness is never about harming us. It's always about shaking us. It's never about punishment. It's always about discipline. Because punishment is a reaction to what you've done. Discipline is a response to the belief in who you are becoming. I want to say that again. I need you to get this. Punishment is a reaction to what you've done. Discipline is a response to the belief in who you are becoming. Punishment says, you messed up. I'm going to smack you around because you deserve it. But discipline comes from the Father. And discipline says, I believe in who you are. I believe in where you are going. I know the plans that I have for you. I know what you're made of. I made you. I know what I put inside of you. And because of that, I'm going to set you on a course of overcoming and breakthrough so that you can become the person I believe that you are. Punishment says you messed up, so you can't do this anymore. But discipline says you're going to take a break for a season because I'm going to hide you away and I'm going to deal on the things of your heart so that when you emerge, I'm going to send you into Galilee with power. If Jesus, I wonder, this is just completely, just like, you know, the imagination of my own mind. This is not theology. It's just imagination of my own mind. But I wonder if Jesus would have responded the same to the crowds if he didn't go through the wilderness. Would Jesus have preached the truth, even if it caused the crowds to scatter, if he did not go into the wilderness season and deal with the flesh that he was born into and cling to the divine nature, would he respond the same way? Because the Father knew who his son was, shaped him in the wilderness so that he could represent the Father in front of the crowds. Are you all right? And last but not least, the wilderness season is intended for your breakthrough, and your breakthrough leads to your breakout. I personally do not believe that you can walk into your promise and your calling without passing through a wilderness. I believe God is too good to let you stay the way that you are. I love you, but... You want to break out? You need your breakthrough. Breakthrough happens when we engage the instruction of the Lord and confront the lies that have held our belief systems captive. And what we have to understand, and here's what I believe. I believe if you get a breakthrough, others get a breakout. I believe the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I believe that when you encounter Jesus in seasons of difficulty, that that testimony of your life becomes a prophetic word for somebody else. I believe that nothing begins and ends with you. I believe because of who you are and who lives inside of you, that nothing you do is limited to your own personal life, but everything you do influences the world around you. I believe that you're atmosphere changers. I believe that you are kings and priests, and you were created to rule and reign upon the earth. I believe that you were created for society and cultural transformation. I believe that you are working, being educated in, and living in the community that you're in and where you are engaging your life for the purpose of changing atmospheres. I believe that the environment changes when you walk into a room. And if you get a breakthrough, then others can get a breakout. There are people around you that have cancer and sickness and struggles and broken families, and they're waiting for you to get a breakthrough so that you can carry your breakthrough into their life and lead them by the way of grace into a breakout in their life where the answers to prayers and the things they've been longing for begins to flow from your life. Christ in you is the hope that God will receive glory. Was that all creation is groaning and waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, so that all creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but the one who subjected in hope, that all creation would be delivered into the liberty of the sons and daughters of God. That means that your liberty leads to the world's liberty. So all creation is groaning and waiting for you to walk through a wilderness and get a breakthrough. Why? Because the Father disciplines sons. And sons are the ones that the earth is longing for. If you're walking through a wilderness, it's because he loves you and he wants your liberty to become somebody else's liberty. Your breakthrough leads to somebody else's breakout. Your breakthrough will lead to Oakland, Maine breaking out. Your breakthrough will lead to Lewiston, Maine breaking out. Somebody needs to put their hands to the plow and go through seasons of wilderness and come out shining and radiating like Jesus, identifying the move of the Holy Spirit and get a vision for what God's doing and creating in that season. And I'm not telling you to fake it until you make it. I'm not saying to just be a good soldier. I'm saying that put your face into the heart of Jesus until you come out feasting on his truth and you have overcome every lie and wicked place within you that just wants to push back on the truth of the Lord Jesus in your life and dig in until you actually believe it. So many of us want to like live a life that looks like we believe it, but behind closed doors, we're actually really struggling. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do really good at acting like I believe it. I just want to really believe it. I want you to get from me in who I want to be in front of you is who I want to be in private. And the only way that I'm going to do that is actually like digging in and trying to become the person that you want me to be. Or, I'm sorry, that the Lord wants me to be. Do not get a lie of man-pleasing from this. Why don't you stand with me? Man, our genuine faith and maturity needs to be genuine, doesn't it? How about this? Our genuine conviction of sin needs to be genuine, doesn't it? Our genuine conviction of worldliness needs to be genuine. In where we're going to, there's so many open doors in our life that are causing us to go back to those things that we don't want other people to see. And I'm not just talking about sin. I'm even just talking about worldliness and man-pleasing and pride and insecurity. We don't want the world to see this stuff. And yet all the while, the Lord's like, I can, let's go into the wilderness. I'll sing to you there. It says in Hosea, it says about this like prostitute bride that Hosea marries as a prophetic picture of the church. You know what he says? He goes, here's what I'm gonna do because I love her and I believe that she is a queen and I believe that she's made for more. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm going to lead her into the wilderness and I'm going to teach her how to sing again. And the valley of Achor will become her door of hope. Valley of Achor means the valley of compromise. Her prostituted heart, her broken ways will become the doorway of hope for her. And I'll lead her in there and she will no longer remember the names of the gods that she has served or the men that she has slept with or the ways that she's given herself over to other lovers. She will no longer remember their names. She will only have the name of Yahweh, her husband, her maker on her lips. I will lead her into the wilderness and sing to her. That doesn't mess you up. God is so good. Man, someone needs to thank God for the wilderness. God, thank you for the wilderness. Thank you that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you believe in me. Thank you who you've made me to be. Thank you for the wilderness where you sing to me. God, where you cause me to forget the shames of my youth, God, where you remind me who I am, where you confront the broken places that I've believed in myself, where you lead me into breakthrough. Thank you for the wilderness. Thank you for manna from heaven, for revelations, for dreams at night and visions in the day, words from friends, word in your word. Thank you, Father, for feeding me in these seasons and speaking to me. Thank you for letting me fail, but it's safe to make mistakes in that season because you are revealing things by shaking me. Thank you for the wilderness. Thank you that I can feel conviction, but not shame in these seasons because you're shaping me. You're forming me. You're preparing me for what's ahead. Can you just put a hand on the person next to you just quickly? I want you to pray, God, open their eyes to see and their ears to hear.